Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on the court from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank their creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, the corporation. Corporations have been afforded some of the same rights under the U.S. Constitution as its citizens. This was totally against the will of the forefathers of the United States of America, who fought to gain freedom from English corporate rule. From dictionary, corporation is a company or a group of people authorized to act as a single entity, legally a person. Pay close attention to that. And recognized as such in law. From Innovation Enterprise. They said American companies have been steadily moving overseas for years. They have been merging with foreign firms or simply acquiring them outright, buying them, right? Buying them out, right? The goal has always been to decrease their tax burden and more. In 1982, an American construction company moved its base from the United States to Panama. This was done to outmaneuver the Internal Revenue Services, the IRS, those scary guys that come around at the end of the year. Since that time, American corporations have found moving their operation to foreign countries a good way to save more of their earnings. It is commonly known as corporate inversion, right? Corporate inversion also helps a company avoid paying taxes it might be required to pay on past profits. A corporation usually does not pay taxes on its foreign earnings until the money is brought back into the United States. Problemo, right? First, yes, you're going to get this out of the way. First, yes, corporations provide goods and services that appeal to our needs, wants, and desires, like employment, food, gas, transportation, health, pharmaceutical, clothing, arms, etc. So there's a whole lot of things that corporations do, services that they provide. Yes, they do. Okay. Now I kind of understand how items are sold with a warning, caution. Materials have been known to cause cancer in mice. Or cause cancer, as with cigarettes and weed killers. They really don't say they cause cancer. I don't think so. I don't remember saying it caused cancer, but they have that thing on television about this class action suit with the weed killer. What's the name of it? Something anyway. So, what about the weed killers that are harmful to human beings? Alcohol, which we know is a toxin. Vaccines, plastic bottling, which is a product of petroleum. Building materials, etc. That, you know, is harmful or have been, you know, proven. Like we had, at one time we had the, we still have asbestos and lead. Lead paint, you had asbestos and, you know, things like that that corporations had pushed for use and made a lot of money. They painted. I mean, who's not painting their house? Right? Anyway, how someone is able to put a price tag on everything you will need and want in life, and even you, kind of coming to light here. You know, because you can see there's profit in that. Yeah, that's Roundup Weed Killer. Not trying to do an advertisement for them or anything like or against them. But, you know, that's the weed killer I was talking about. Just got a little text about that. Anyway, lately I've been hearing and reviewing some very disturbing things about corporations. Now, I know if you work for a corporation, especially at the top, you're getting paid like you're exec or something like that. You know, some charge that corporations own by wealthy individuals are extorting governments, abusing Earth's resources, exploiting labor, and the misfortune of the less fortunate, profiting from world calamity and control. All of this and more, to the tune of the detriment of the Earth, humanity, and civilization as we think we know it. It appears that corporate economic progress, while providing products for consumers and psychologically manipulating them to consume products, is a double-edged sword. Corporations maximize profits by any means necessary, regardless of toxicity, pollutants, carcinogens, disease, destruction, economic enslavery, corruption, subliminal mind-deadening effects, and death without a conscience. Economies are built and dependent on the sands of these fictitious entities and ideologies. As I said previously, corporation, right? Basically, it's a group of people working together in a business, but it's viewed as one individual, right? That's basically what it is. You get a little business group together, you incorporate, y'all get you're viewed as one individual. You will be surprised how many items are allowed to breach our trust. Why is it acceptable to sell anything that may or does cause cancer? You'll be surprised how many items are allowed to breach our trust, our environment, our children, and our own lives. Corporations exert their authority over government, media, legislative branches, and individuals to perpetuate their agenda and mask their monstrous crimes. Yet, these corporations are viewed as a person, thanks to the not-so-Supreme Court, a person who knowingly and recklessly perpetuates the pillaging and poisoning of the earth and its inhabitants could be called a monster. How are these corporate monsters free to feed upon the earth and the world community? And that may sound strange saying that in 2020, but it wasn't so long time ago. Corporations are now, they say, patenting living organisms. So I think somebody's supposed to be patenting some, is it a DNA sequence or something like that? Something. It was bizarre. Like, come on now. You can't patent a living organism. If you think that is not a serious accusation, you have your head stuck deep in a hole or a corporate hole. I really don't have enough time to discuss this monster. Because as I, was doing the research, this thing could go in a lot of directions. So some things I might mention, but I'm not going to go into them because I just want to share basically a little something about corporations and the history of corporations here in America. Because I thought it was very interesting in the beginning, how it started out and how it ended up. Anyway. So I'm going to do my best. If you don't get anything out of this show, at least understand this. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. The love of money is truly the root of evil. And if there is a devil, he lives among us. And he is truly the ruler and the king of this world. Check this political move out. And I was reading about the idea that it's better to farm out economic responsibility for production, distribution, and consumption of goods to private interests or corporations. And that facilitates dependency on an entity whose goal is to exploit for profit by any means necessary. So how are you going to have dependency? How are you going to be dependent on some entity that's trying to exploit you? Their loyalty, if any, is to their stockholders, which is to earn money. You don't invest. I don't know how many stockholders I got listening, investors, but you know, you invest money in a corporation, you want to earn money. So, or she might take your money out of that corporation before you lose money, right? All right. So, mind you, private interest is not the same as public and national interest. You got to understand that. Public and national interest most certainly does not supersede private interest or the interest of the corporation or investors. Right? Because I got to make this money. This individual put money into this corporation, bought some stocks, and he's or she is expecting, you know, a little bit of dough, a little comeback, come up, right? So economics is the branch of knowledge concerned with the production, distribution, consumption of resources and the transfer of wealth. That's kind of the definition I got from the dictionary and put a little bit of my own in there also from what I have been reading. Anyway, the theory is you let somebody else do it and have the problems that come with it. So you know you run the business, you start the business, you take the risk, you start the business. So if I take the risk, I start the business, it's my business, I'm going to make the greatest profit from that business. And if you depended on me, I'm going to, I'm going to go for the greatest profit. I'm not going to, you know, make it easy for you. I'm going to make it easy for me and my investors. Right? Public government outsource of work creates dependency on corporations or interest groups. Some accredit it with creating jobs and industry. A double-edged sword. Right? Theory of production is to spend the least amount of money to earn the maximum amount of profit. Upon this operational ideology, economic superiority and slavery is created as corporations give the illusion that they care or are creating meaningful economic growth while disproportionately profiting from the work of employees. For example, Nike sneakers. I think of Michael Jordan with the guy jumping in the air on him, on the side of the sneak. Anyway, Nike sneaker factory workers in Vietnam earned 20 cents an hour in the 1990s and often worked between 70 and 80 hours a week. Nike had a historical reputation for treating its workers poorly. So you got to wonder, why are Nikes making their sneaker in Vietnam? Couldn't Americans use that job? From the New York Times, in 1990, Nike became the largest sports and fitness footwear and apparel company in the world. Well, the less, as I said, the less money you spend, the more money that you profit, right? So that's why they're in Vietnam. And that's the short story. you know, there were other things that occurred in there, you know, things that were going on with that Nike situation, which I don't want to make my show about Nike, how Nike had these little, which equates to a sweatshop or something in Vietnam, had these guys working, these females working, mostly females, working for less than nothing, you know. And then, you know, somebody hollered and, you know, they eventually brought up the wages, but basically they're paying less wages in Vietnam than they would have to pay here in the States. So apparently it's more profitable to produce it in Vietnam, ship it over here, and charge people. I don't know how much sneak cost in 1990s. I don't know how much they cost. That's not too long ago. Not that long ago. So, but, you know, $100, $200, whatever. Okay, so I'm not going to get into the Nike thing. Anyway, first, Nike and any other corporation, who would rather pay anybody but Americans to make the product they sell to Americans is denying Americans gainful employment to earn the maximum profit from their product. You might argue it's a private corporation and it can and should pursue business in the most profitable manner possible. Why lose the potential to earn more money trying to provide a livable wage for Americans when you can create employment where there is none or very little employment and earn greater profit? Should American corporations open up production industries outside of U.S. borders? One may argue, not if they receive one dime of taxpayers' money. But we have the same type of issue right here in America. From prospect.org. How do corporations get this corporate welfare? Follow the money, they say. The U.S. spends hundreds of millions. Corporations spend hundreds of millions on lobbying and campaign contributions. Now, as I said about people who invest, that's an investment, hundreds of millions. Nobody's throwing hundreds of millions not looking for a come up. Not looking to increase their profits, right? So they're spending a lot of money lobbying. You know, they lobbying. That's getting their point across and support with legislators, okay? Campaign contributions, that's getting your point across with who's ever running for office. So you're getting the backing of the legislators and the campaign contributions you give to the candidate or the actual mayor, president, or whatever, senator, or whatever you might be, you know, House of Representative, you know, whatever position you might hold. So you want something in return, and it has to add up. It has to make sense, dollars and cents. All right? That's the only sense it makes, right? So there's your investment. They expect a return from the government here. Even more insidious example of corporate welfare occurs when corporations don't pay their workers a living wage, as I mentioned. As a result, those workers often have to rely on programs like Medicaid, public housing, food stamps, and other safety nets, they say. Which means taxpayers end up subsidizing these low wages so the corporations can enjoy their higher profits for their executives and wealthy investors at the top. All right? For example, every year Americans spend an estimated $153 billion on taxes and on programs to subsidize McDonald's and Walmart's low-wage workers. There are several ways that corporations get rich off of the taxpayer. The most obvious comes through subsidies and tax breaks for certain businesses and industries, right? Pay attention. Corporations aren't broke people. They aren't people who, you know, don't have food in the refrigerator. Consider the fossil fuel industry, right? That's your oil, right? Gas, you know, crude oil, which they make many things from oil, crude oil, fossil fuel. You wouldn't believe it. One of the most profitable and privileged sectors in the economy, right? Every year, oil companies get to deduct millions of dollars from their tax bills for the cost of new wells, oil exploration, and other drilling and mining expenses, right? It's been estimated that repealing these special tax breaks, because how do they get the special tax breaks in the first place, right, would save taxpayers $39 billion over 10 years. You think taxpayers could use $39 billion over 10 years? What do you think? Other examples of corporate welfare include billions in government subsidies for agricultural conglomerates. That's huge, y'all. Conglomerate. That's bigger than a corporation, right? Pharmaceutical makers, tech giants, and defense contractors, right? Other industries don't get these benefits, right? Meanwhile, most families don't even benefit from tax credits and deductions for child care. State and local governments are also handing out corporate welfare, often with no strings attached. In 2013, for example, Washington approved over $8.7 billion handout for Boeing in order to maintain and grow its workforce within the state. Stay, Boeing, stay. Hire our people. We got $8.7 billion to give to you. Stay, don't go. What did Boeing do? It laid off more than 12,000 workers in the state. State and local tax breaks for corporations are estimated to cost local schools almost $2 billion a year in lost tax revenue. Does anybody hear that Marvin Gaye song playing? What's going on? The government spends about $100 billion annually on corporate welfare, on the rich guys, the wealthy guys. So, again, from Provocative Thought, it is anti-American to exploit Americans. It is unethical to exploit anyone whose livelihoods are dependent on the availability of employment provided by the corporation and the unavailability of employment opportunities have a negative impact on the economy and the people. All right? Corporations should not be afforded the opportunity to increase profits at the expense deterioration of lives of American peoples. Those who choose not to manufacture their goods in America are literally saying they do not and will not support the economic growth, development, and well-being of Americans. Those who choose to manufacture goods in America that can and do not provide a living wage are saying they do not and will not support the economic growth, development, and well-being of Americans. They don't care if Americans' cities fail to thrive and nurture Americans. If these cities fall into decadence, poverty, crime, and corruption, they don't care about that. If Americans lose their jobs or the opportunity to earn, to feed their families and send their children to adequate schools, for their objective and goal is to profit over people. There can be no us in their thing. My thing, just as subjected, infected, and affected by their thing, their doing. Just us, subjected, infected, and affected by their thing that they're doing. There's no us in their thing. Got to keep that in mind. Even though you're getting goods and services from these people, getting things that you need, that's because they're controlling that, because you can't get it nowhere else. A sovereign nation that is dependent or controlled by the influence of a corporation or interest group or individual is no more than a slave to that corporation, interest group, or individual if those entities do not value the needs of the people.
Excuse me.
As long as Americans remain divided and stupefied, they will always be slaves to these masters of oligarchy, plutocracy, kleptocracy, and capitalism, rendering many to the status of a serf in feudalism, fighting each other for the scraps thrown to the floor from the master's table. I think they call that trickle-down economics. How many of y'all like for things to trickle down to you? Because a trickle is a small amount. Where are the truly America-owned, made-in-America corporations? And I'm specifically saying truly America-owned, America-owned, made-in-America corporations. Where are the corporations that exist to serve the interests of Americans? It is an excellent way to generate capital. Imagine if Amazon was a government business. I think people could use $1 billion. I mean, $100 billion. From Statista in 2019, right? They reported that Amazon reported a net income of $11.59 billion, up from $10 billion net income in the previous year. During the same fiscal period, the company's revenue amounted to more than $280.5 billion. During the same fiscal period, the company's revenue amounted to more than $280.5 billion. Ask yourself, could the people use $280.5 billion? Don't get owned by America confused with corporations owned by Americans. Not the same thing. Two different animals, two different concepts. It will not be long before the totalitarian state raises its head of superiority and unveils its undeniable agenda upon a diminished, overwhelmed, unassuming, preoccupied, hopeless, helpless, and vulnerable population. It's not what they say they are, but what they are doing that is the problem. If the people rule as in a democracy, then the people should truly take control of their destiny. If they cannot, they are not in control. Someone else is. Their destinies are slaves, pets, captive animal. Those are the type of entities that someone else has control of their destiny, right? Slaves, pets, and captive animals. In a capitalistic economy, capital is the ultimate goal. If you control no resources or anything in the chain of economics, you have no power to influence, lobby, or as I like to say, bribe a legislator or politicians, right? Gotta pay the cost to be the boss. That's the saying they got, right? So maybe that's where it came from, these guys right here, because these are the real bosses. Nobody on the street level is the boss of nothing. These are the bosses that we having this conversation about. There's a reason corporations were held to a particular standard of operation. The reason is simply to prevent them from taking control of the sovereign nation. Sovereign means self-governed. In this case, I'm saying governed by the people as supposedly in a democracy. We ain't going to have a debate about that either. Legally infringed upon the rights of Americans to pursue happiness, have due process, and equality under the law. Because you can't have equality under the law if someone is able to get legislation written in their favor. You cannot have it. And that someone is a corporation who is perceived or received as an individual as far as the courts and the legislation, which I guess was they practically might as well just wrote it down, wrote it themselves. But, you know, they're perceived as individuals. So they're writing their own ticket. You can't do that. I can't do it. But these guys can't because they had the money. And we have a lot of weak puppets in high places. Now, I hope y'all understanding that what I'm saying here, because that's the only way this could happen. You can't exercise your human right to pursue happiness or your constitutional right to due process and equality under the law if your politicians are not held accountable when they are not upright, moral, and ethical human beings and give in to corruption. They too must be held accountable for their actions and acts against the people. It appears that there once was a contingency to protect the nation from corporate rule and law. We will find that the love of money is the root of all evil. Of evil. I won't say all evil. The love of money is the root of evil. Where there are plenty of money lovers, there is plenty of evil in high and low places. What may appear to be a humane effort to improve the quality of life of workers in a third world nation is actually a move that takes employment options away from Americans to perpetuate the decline of American neighborhoods, cities, and livelihoods. At the same time, the corporations spend the least amount of money to gain the maximum profit. This is not evil genius. It's just plain old greed and narcissism. Do they really need to make so much money? Somebody saw this coming from the American Bar Association, Article 5, Amendments to the Constitution. It says, the American people decided that individuals who had long been excluded from being considered part of the we the people, like African Americans and women, were in fact full members of the body politic. But now, counter majoritarian courts acting against majority rule are taking the lead in shoehorning corporations into roles that previously only American citizens occupied. I smell a rat here, right? Historically, it's not me saying this. Corporations do not have co-equal constitutional rights as living, breathing human citizens, but they are making claims on more rights that until relatively recently were only asserted by real people, because a corporation as an individual, that is a fictitious individual. That's why they have a fictitious name, right? Conclusion, they say. What we are likely to have at the conclusion of the Supreme Court term is corporations that are empowered to spend in American elections because of Bellotti and Citizens United, corporations that can make religious objections thanks to, this is crazy, Hobby Lobby. And if Jessna turns out as badly as I predict, corporations will be able to aid and abet human rights violations abroad with impunity, with impunity, with impunity. If corporations are going to be treated as legal persons, they should have personal accountability too. I mean, with impunity. What kind of, especially for human rights abuses. What's, these guys writing their own ticket. And like I said, somebody saw this coming a long time ago. From Provocative Thought. Simply because someone states that a group of people is an individual does not make that group of people an individual. No individual is or should be immune from the laws that govern individuals. So if the corporation is a corporation, as an individual, should be subjected to the same laws as everybody else. For example, pharmaceutical companies that manufacture vaccines were able to get legislation passed, you try it, giving them immunity to lawsuits from individuals who were harmed from vaccines. If a corporation is an individual, any legislation that protects the corporation or the so-called individual from prosecution is unconstitutional. No individual can get such a law passed granting them unaccountability and immunity for themselves, but a powerful corporation / individual can. In short, money talks and that other stuff walks. From Law at Cornell Education, Legal Information Institute. 42 U.S. Code, Statute 300AA/22, Standards of Responsibility. No vaccine manufacturer shall be liable in a civil action for damages arising from a vaccine-related injury or death associated with the administration of a vaccine after October 1st, 1988, if the injury or death resulted from side effects that were unavoidable, even though the vaccine was properly prepared and was accompanied by proper directions and warnings. Now, from Provocative Thought, if vaccines were not associated with death and injury, there would be no need for a law exempting vaccine producers from liability. There is evidence of adverse effects, effects of vaccines. Not going to get into that. Do your own research. That's what I call power, though. See, I got that law passed. Black folks try to get the law passed. See what happens. Right now, y'all, like, right now, black folks need, we need something. We really don't need more laws. If people just obeyed the laws that we had, we wouldn't be having such a problem. But like you said, when people target you, you're going to have a problem. You're going to have a bigger problem than everybody else. Your situation is going to be a little worse than the next guy's. The forefathers had a good reason for limiting the power of corporations. Right? I keep saying that, but I'm getting to it now. Here's where it used to be, from reclaimed democracy. They talking about reclaiming democracy, saying that we lost our democracy. That's what these group of people are saying here. It's our hidden history of corporations in the United States. They wrote this here. When American colonists declared independence from England in 1776, they also freed themselves from control by English corporations that extracted their wealth and dominated trade. All right? After fighting a revolution to end this exploitation, right, from the English corporations, right, our country's founders retained a healthy fear of corporate power and wisely limited corporations exclusively to a business role. Corporations were forbidden from attempting to influence elections, public policy, and other realms of civic society. Corporations were forbidden from attempting to influence elections, public policy, and other realms of civic society. Initially, the privilege of incorporation was granted selectively to enable activities that benefited the public, such as construction of roads or canals. Enabling shareholders to profit was seen as a means to that end. The states also imposed conditions, some of which remain on the books, though unused, like these. Some of them still exist, but they ignore them. That's what they're basically saying. Corporate charters licensed to exist were granted for a limited time. It could be revoked promptly for violating laws. Corporations could engage only in activities necessary to fulfill their chartered purpose. Corporations could not own stock in other corporations, nor own any property that was not essential to fulfilling their chartered purpose. Corporations were often terminated if they exceeded their authority or caused public harm. I'm going to say that again. Corporations were often terminated if they exceeded their authority or caused public harm. Owners and managers were responsible for criminal acts committed on the job. Corporations could not make any political or charitable contributions, nor spend money to influence lawmakers. Corporations could not make any political or charitable contributions, nor spend money to influence lawmaking. That sounds nothing like any kind of corporation we have nowadays. For 100 years after the American Revolution, legislators maintained a tight control of the corporate chartering process. Because of widespread public opposition, early legislators granted very few corporate charters, and only after debate. Citizens governed corporations by detailing operating conditions, not just in charters, but also in state constitutions and state laws. Incorporated businesses were prohibited from taking any action that legislators did not specifically allow. So they must have caught that right there and said, we have to make sure that legislators specifically allow us to take the action we want to take anyway. States also limited corporate charters to a set number of years. Unless a legislator renewed an expiring charter, the corporation was dissolved and its assets were divided among shareholders. All right? Citizen authority clauses, limited capitalization, debts, and land holdings, and sometimes even profits. They required a company's accounting books to be turned over to a legislator upon request. Let me look at them books, what's going on, right? The power of large shareholders was limited by scale voting so that large and small investors had equal voting rights. Interlocking directorates were outlawed. Shareholders had the right to remove directors at will. In Europe, charters protected directors and stockholders from liability for debts and harms caused by their corporation. That sound familiar? In Europe, charters protected directors and stockholders from liability for debts and harms caused by their corporation. American legislators explicitly rejected this corporate shield. Hear that? American legislator, it said explicitly rejected this corporate shield, right? The penalty for abuse or misuse of a charter was not a plea bargain, but a fine. But dissolution of the corporation. See, that is an example of majority will as far as corporations are concerned, the forefathers of the United States, right? They say, no, y'all can't do what y'all want to do. And you're definitely not going to become more powerful than us, right? In 1819, the U.S. Supreme Court tried to strip the states of its sovereign right by overruling a lower court's decision that allowed New Hampshire to revoke a charter granted to Dartmouth College by King George III. The court claimed that since the charter contained no revocation clause, it could not be withdrawn. The Supreme Court's attack on the state's sovereign outraged citizens. Citizens, I don't know, did they riot or what? What did they do in this situation? Well, they wrote more laws. Laws were written or rewritten, and the new state constitutional amendments passed to circumvent the Dartmouth College versus Woodward ruling. Over several decades, starting in 1844, 19 states amended their constitutions to make corporate charters subject to alteration and revocation by their legislators. As late as 1855, it seemed that the Supreme Court had gotten the people's message when in Dodge versus Woolsey, it reaffirmed the state's power over artificial bodies. That's a corporation, right? So that's a small victory right there. But they fighting it out in the courtroom. That tells you this, that these corporations are gnawing at justice, right? Fairness and trying to get their way, right? A temporary victory. But there you see the not-so-Supreme Court not representing the interests of the people, of the American people, and not working in the interests of working in the interests of corporations. Ruling against the good of the people, the constitutional authority or power of the people is an act of treason against the sovereignty of the people who are supposed to be the same as the government. That is a coup d'etat or coup d'etat, a sudden overthrow of a government if you're able to pay your way to do what you want to do. They say history repeats itself. The article went on to say, but men running corporations pressed on. They kept gnawing like a rat at a peanut butter door. Contests over charter were battles to control labor, resources, community rights, and political sovereignty. more and more frequently, corporations were abusing their charters to become conglomerate and trust bigger, right? They converted the nation's resources and treasures into private fortunes, creating factory systems and company towns, right? Political power began flowing to absentee owners rather than community-rooted enterprises. I own this property, right? But I don't live in it. I don't live in those communities. I just own them. So I really don't care what happens to the people in the community. I only care about getting my dollar, increasing my dollar, and getting some more money and increasing some more. How does an entity that has a history of abusing their charter get the support of legislators? You got to ask that question. But we already know, because I already showed you, they already told you how it happened. They're lobbying, which is, to me, is just another word for bribe. It is very unethical to reward anyone who is unethical. Yet, some genius saw fit to do so with immunity. Black Wall Street had no absentee owners. Everyone was vested in the growth of everyone in the Black Wall community, the Black Wall Street community. All right? So, ownership, living in the community in which you are trying to thrive from is important. The industrial age forced a nation of farmers to become wage earners. So you can't work your farm no more because, you know, I got the big farm right here, putting you out of business. Now you got to come work for me. And they became fearful of unemployment, a new fear that corporations quickly learned to exploit, right? Due to the impact of the Industrial Revolution, many farmers were forced to sell their labor to the corporations because they could no longer survive off the land and natural resources. Progress should enhance the life of men, all men, not force them into exploitation, poverty, desolation, and slavery. That's from Provocative Thought. Continues from the article. Company towns arose and blackness of labor organizations, organizers, and workers who spoke up for their rights became common. See, you wouldn't need a labor organization if you were being paid fairly, if you wasn't being worked like a slave. That's the only reason why you even need a labor organization. A labor organization is a symptom of something going wrong in the relationship between the employer and the employee. It's a symptom of something that's not happening. When workers began to organize, industrialists and bankers hired private armies to keep them in line, sometimes by killing key leaders. Now, I don't have to tell you how that works because we've seen it historically working in this country. We can start with they killed Abe Lincoln in the back of the head. They shot Kennedy in the head, and among other places, I think another president got shot on the way. Got shot for. They killed Martin Luther King. They killed Malcolm X, Medgar Evers. And I don't know how many Black Panthers, and so on. They bought newspapers. They bought newspapers to paint businessmen as heroes and shape public opinion. Now, they were able to manipulate the media. So, got to pay attention, y'all. Corporations bought state legislators, then announced legislators were corrupt and said scrutinizing every corporate operation wasted public resources. They're paying right in their own way. creating their own scenario. Government spending during the Civil War brought these corporations fantastic wealth. Corporate executives paid borers to infest Congress and state capitals, bribing elected and appointed officials alike. This is not me saying this. This is what these people are saying in this report. All right, so it's not me saying it. It's what Reclaim Democracy is saying in their research. But it's very believable because we can logically conclude that that's going on right now, because we can't, how do we get in this mess without people just, you know, looking out for themselves? They prayed loose an avalanche. They pried loose an avalanche of government financial largesse. During this time, legislators were persuaded to give corporations limited liability, decreased citizen authority over them, and extended durations over charters. See, right now they breaking the staff right here. Staff is the standard for the corporation. They breaking it. They breaking them down with how they break them down with greed. They are catering to the greed of the politicians, right? And just breaking down the legislator. All we can do is vote for them or not vote for them. It doesn't matter who you vote for. They get in the office, they get manipulated and exploited by the corporation. This is how it happened. And anybody tell me that's not happening now, that will fall upon deaf ears. Attempts were made to keep strong charter laws in place, but the court applying legal doctrine that made protection of corporations and corporate property the center of constitutional law. Attempts were made to keep strong charter laws in place. Remember, they had laws that to control corporations. But with the courts, somebody's paying the courts, right? Applying legal doctrines that made protection of corporations and corporate property the center of constitutional law. Citizen sovereignty was undermined. As corporations grew stronger, government and the courts became easier prey, because they own government in the courts. They freely reinterpreted the U.S. Constitution and transformed common law doctrines. They freely reinterpreted the U.S. Constitution and transformed common law doctrines. Now, that's a coup d'etat. That's your government being taken over. They didn't vote for that. They paid for it. They bribed for it. And who knows what other tactics they use to have their way. And to me, that's worse than a riot. That's worse than looting. Because they loot in America every day, and they're doing it through the letter of the law. One of the most severe blows to citizens' authority arose out of the 1886 Supreme Court case of Santa Clara County versus Southern Pacific Railroad. The court did not make a ruling on the question of corporate personhood, thanks to misleading notes of a clerk, the decision subsequently was used as precedent to hold that a corporation was a natural person. Listen, this ain't even real. This story was detailed in The Theft of Human Rights, a chapter in Tom Hartman's recommended book, Unequal Protection. So y'all want to check it out, read that. So this set of the courts set a precedent to hold that a corporation was a natural person. You can just, can you just say something is something that is not any, because does it make sense? From that point on, the 14th Amendment enacted to protect rights of freed slaves was used routinely to grant corporations constitutional personhood. Justices have since struck down hundreds of local, state, and federal laws enacted to protect people from corporate harm based on this illegitimate premise. Armed with those rights, corporations increase control over resources, jobs, commerce, politicians, even judges and the law. But as I've been saying to you, that's what happened. So there's been a coup d'etat, a takeover of the, you know, the U.S. government, by these corporations, according to this article. And the article being true, yes, there has been a coup d'etat. A United States Congressional Committee concluded in 1941, the principal instrument of the concentration of economic power and wealth has been the corporate charter with unlimited power. So, now that's what I call selling out. Counter-majoritarianism decisions being made. Counter-U.S. citizens' decisions being made. Counter-human and constitutional rights decisions being made. How do we go for that? Well, folks got paid. People say, hey, y'all handle the politics. Eventually, I guess maybe how we got to the state where we just left everything up to the politicians is because they just took everything from you. And maybe people just fell into a state of hopelessness and say, hey, ain't nothing we could do. That's the way it is. And I hear black people say that. That's the way it is. That just means ain't nothing you can do about it. The way it is, hey, that's the way it is, you know, politicians, that's what they do, you know. Anyway, the article goes on to say, many U.S.-based corporations are now transitional, but the corrupt charter remains the legal basis for their existence. At this, at Reclaim Democracy, they say, they believe citizens can reassert the convictions of our nation's founders who struggled successfully to free us from corporate rule from the past, corporate rule from England, right? These changes must occur at the most fundamental level, the U.S. Constitution. So they also say, oh, please visit our corporate personhood page for a huge library of articles exploring this topic more deeply. So, you know, I'm on the soapbox a little bit tonight, and I'm not a politician, and I'm trying to at least get the point across, see, to show how our government, which is supposed to be by the people, for the people, by the people. You can't have that type of government if someone has the ability to buy people. That government doesn't really exist. It exists to a certain extent. But really, I mean, totality doesn't exist if you have people who are able to pay and people who are willing to receive payment. Excuse me. I'm going to quote President Dwight Eisenhower. at the Republican Women's National Conference. Is that the same conference those ladies were? This is before that. This is March 6, 1956. So, you know, I just remembered that. That's what the ladies, I'll give a standing ovation to the mother, the guy that shot the three guys at the protest. Excuse me. Anyway, President Dwight Eisenhower at the Republican Women's National Conference in March of 1956, he went on to say, and I quote, "If a political party does not have its foundation in the determination to advance a cause that is right and that is moral, then it is not a political party. It is merely a conspiracy to seize power." So, here we have a Republican saying, warning about this whole thing about political parties and, you know, he's not saying corporation, but he's talking about the influence from NPR. Are corporations people? How many of y'all think a corporation should be a person and have rights as a person? Some of the rights as you have. These people are already our citizens and have rights. Now they have a business. They want the same. They want that business to have the rights of a person. It's a fictitious person. Come on, that's a little much. It's not real. It's just because you say it is. Excuse me. They said the U.S. Supreme Court says they are, at least for some purpose. And in the past 4 years, the High Court has dramatically explained corporate rights. Can you believe it? Having a corporation would allow people to put property into a collective ownership that could be held with perpetual existence, she said. So, it wouldn't be tied to any one person's lifespan or subject necessarily to laws regarding inheriting property because it belongs to the corporation, who is a person. But corporations aren't mentioned anywhere in the Constitution, leaving the courts to determine what rights corporations have. So that's why the corporations went after these judges, legislators, gave them a chance to write their own ticket. And which corporations have them? After all, Coca-Cola is a corporation, but so are the NAACP and the National Rifle Association. And so are small churches and local nonprofits, right? So do you think a local nonprofit or a small church could get in a judge's ear through his pocket and get or a legislator's ear through his pocket or a candidate's ear through their pocket and get them to pass laws in favor of them? Do you think they can do that? You think you could do it with your little group, whoever got a little group out there? Think you can get somebody to pass a law and just favoring you, just for you? Excuse me. Yeah, take a hit of this water. So I hate to be on the soapbox, because I know we get so much, we are so dependent on corporations. Everything we have comes from some corporation. But that's a separate entity. From the moment the 14th Amendment was passed in 1868, lawyers for corporations, particularly railroad companies, wanted to use the 14th Amendment guarantee of equal protection to make sure that the states didn't unequally treat corporations. Ain't that a... The Supreme Court extended that protection to corporations and over time also extended some, but not all, of the rights guaranteed to individuals in the Bill of Rights. The court ruled that corporations don't have a right against self-incrimination, for instance, but are protected by a ban on warrantless search and seizure. But for 100 years, corporations were not given any constitutional right of political speech. In fact, quite the contrary. In 1907, following a corporate corruption scandal involving prior presidential campaigns, Congress passed a law banning corporate involvement in federal election campaigns. Wall held firm for 70 years. So Congress passed that. They gnawed through that wall like it had peanut butter on it. The first crack came in a case that involved neither candidate elections nor federal law. In 1978, a sharply divided Supreme, what I call the not Supreme Court, ruled for the first time that corporations have a First Amendment right to spend money on state ballot initiatives. So this thing, to me, the development, the growth, and the success of corporations is also a story of corruption in America, in the United States of America, because here we see, you know, God just paying their way. Now, maybe somewhere else, is someone may come up with something and say, this is happening. But how else can we find ourselves in this predicament? Then came the Citizens United, the Supreme Court's 5-4 First Amendment decision in 2010. That's 10 years ago, y'all. Still going on. History repeating itself is what I'm talking about. Anytime, you know, something's still going on, that means it happened in the past, still going on presently. That's history repeating itself. Because apparently we are hopeless, helplessly against us. We can't do anything with this shit situation, I guess, or haven't done anything. Or maybe we don't know. And maybe people listening today, maybe somebody will get moving about what's going on. Anyway, the Supreme Court's 5-4 First Amendment decision in 2010 that extended to corporations for the first time full right to spend money as they wish in candidate elections. So I'm going to put my man in there. I'm going to do what I can to get my man in. Federal, state, and local, right? Election. The decision reversed a century, y'all, 100 years, a legal understanding, unleashed a flood of campaign cash, and created a crescendo of controversy that continues to build today. That's the kind of business we got going on in this country. And as I don't know if I said it tonight, but corruption breeds corruption. Make no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Now, let me see. Cato Shapiro. I think she is. Who is this? This a senator. Sees all corporations, when they spit on political campaigns, as merely associations of like-minded people. Well, I thought that was the Democrats and the Republicans. You know what I'm saying? So how you have a group of people as a corporation and a group of people as individuals? Nobody's saying this. They're going to say, nobody's saying that corporations are living, breathing entities. We're just going to treat them like that. But if you treat them like that, you're saying that. This is the double talk, kind of double talk that goes on. Anyway, nobody's saying that corporations are living, breathing entities or that they have souls or anything like that. He said, this is about protecting the rights of individuals that associate in this way. So we got a little corporation. Somebody's going to protect my rights. While the corporation takes away your authority as a citizen, as was dictated 100 years ago. We are now winding up with using constitutional rules to concentrate corporate power in a way that's dangerous to democracy, right? Because if someone has the ability to influence basically everybody, that, you know, the president, the houses, the judges, if you had the ability to influence those things to pass laws in your favor, then you are in control. Okay, who you vote for. So, from provocative thought again, guess I'm on a soapbox. Try to get this last point across here before we close for the night. Is a corporation a person to you? Anybody listening, you think that a corporation should get the same privileges as a person? It's not rocket science. A person is a single individual, and people are more than one individual. Therefore, people are more than one individual or person. People are not a person. A person is not people. A corporation is a group of people acting as a single entity in function. They ain't going around as they don't go on around. They don't go around representing the corporate. If it's 100 people, stock owners, we don't go around and introduce myself to you as IBM. I introduce myself to you as who I am, whatever my name is, John Joe Blow, whatever. Because you are a single entity. You're only one entity in business and business function. Anyway, that entity is the corporation or business that they have formed. Do the math. It is impossible for one to be greater than one, and two or more to be equal to one. So it's impossible for one to be greater than one and two or more to be equal to one. That makes no sense. Yet these guys are able to pass a law basically saying that. Yet somehow the genius in the Supreme Court ruled that a corporation or a business formed by a group of people is a single person. Mind you, a person lives, breathes, has feelings, and is flesh and blood. The Supreme Court does not have the right to determine and or change reality. It cannot act at in any degree of fairness if it is not capable of knowing what is real or actual. Because, you know, this whole fictitious idea about being a person is suspicious. It's delusional, truthful, and fair rulings cannot be made or founded on the foundation of fictitious ideas or frames of reference. Such a concept will allow the corporations to advocate that the courts and legislative branches validate whatever corporate men's minds can conceive simply because they are paid to do so. Acting together does not make you a single person. A football team is a part of an organization, has many individual players on and off the field, acting together as one team, not a person. Team means more than one, and organization, organized group of people, means more than one. Gang members are individuals acting as one gang. Gang means more than one, right? Family consists of more than one. They all represent a group of persons, not one person. I'm just saying the same thing over and over in different ways. I hope that I was able to get my point across. You just can't make a corporation a person. It's biologically and mathematically impossible. Yet the legislative branch and the not-so-supreme court, acted in the best interest of the corporation. That sounds like somebody was paid to make a decision through a flood of campaign cash and whatever methods they use. It all spells corruption in high places and taxation and little to no representation. The fathers of this country fought a war over taxation and no representation. Could it be that another war is coming? Corporations alone are not the problem. Corrupt legislative and judicial representatives are equally a threat to the Constitution, no rights of Americans. It is a fictitious concept to recognize a group of people as a person, an entity or business such as a corporation as a person. Basically, it is a political action to allow corporations the same rights as a person or the right to do all the things they were prohibited from doing by law. Until next week, y'all, we are running out of time. Sorry I had to get on soapbox. I thought this was an interesting subject. There's a lot more I could have said in terms of how corporations have impacted on today's society, but you can get the gist of it, the root of it from today's show. You can do your own research and see what's going on, because it's basically the same stuff that's going on that's impacting on your lives today. So remember, absolute power corrupts absolutely. And the love of money is the root of evil. Until next week, y'all.
Be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials, because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner, because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.